O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. O God of all the nations, we thank thee for this fair land which thou hast given to us. We are grateful for our forefathers and all that they have done to make this land more Christian. Help us to serve thee as well or even better in our day and generation. Forgive us of our sins. Help us to live lives that are worthy of peace as we long for peace. And help us above all else to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. We thank thee, our Heavenly Father, for all who minister to in thy name in this land. We think particularly just now of our home missionaries. Wilt thou bless them as pioneers of thine wherever they are? And wilt thou bless our Southern Baptist people as they move to and fro in this land? May they find themselves in churches of their communities, and may we not forget our obligation to them to keep them near to thee and to thy kingdom. We thank thee, our Heavenly Father, for the graduates of this seminary who are now working in these fields. And wilt thou help them to know that thou wilt never forsake them, and that we are praying for them and for their prosperity in thy kingdom. We pray thy richest blessing upon this one who has come to represent them and us today. And may all that we do and say in this hour be of glory to thee and of benefit to humankind. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We are grateful for the privilege that is ours today to have with us Mr. Glendon McCullough, who is the Personnel Secretary of the Home Mission Board. Mr. McCullough comes to us as a servant of the Lord and of our denomination, and is therefore always quite welcome in this group and in this service of worship. He is a graduate of Baylor University and Southern Baptist Seminary, and has only recently come to our Home Mission Board. I'm sure that he has a message for us that is fresh and that will appeal to our hearts and help us be better missionaries wherever the Lord calls us to serve. Mr. McCullough, we're so happy to have you, sir.
A number of you men I had in the boys' camps I directed when you were younger boys than you are now. And one of you reminded me yesterday of how later, when you served on the staff in those camps, the staff would sit on the back row during the services, and as the weeks went by, when I spoke in the worship services and used any story that I had used previously, that the staff members sitting on the back row would raise fingers for each time they had heard that story. And it proved a real source of inspiration to the speaker week after week. But I'm not here to tell you any stories, nor to attempt anything else in these moments this morning, save to share with you a real conviction and a burden. When I was in college, my lab partner in zoology was named Ray Hojizaki. This was in 1942 and 43. It was not popular to be a Japanese on an American college campus in those days. Ray Hojizaki and I served on the missions committee. I do not know how many times I have heard him, whether it be in the street meeting or in one of the missions, use the verses, the first few verses of the 10th chapter of Romans as he spoke. But somehow it made an impression on me that I haven't forgotten. As this boy, in a day when we were thinking of defeating Japan, but not of saving Japan so much, would quote these verses, "Brethren, my heart's desire And my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I think one of the happiest experiences of my life was later while visiting in Japan, to visit the church and the town where Ray Hoshizaki serves as a missionary under our Foreign Mission Board, carrying out the desire that had been born in his heart of the Spirit earlier to help, as he called it, his Israel, that they might be saved. I'm not sure that the man Paul would ever have accepted appointment under either the home or the Foreign Mission Board. When he was on the foreign field, he was constantly concerned about the field at home. And when he was at home, he was remembering the fields beyond and abroad. And it would seem to me that all of us in our world today need to be conscious of our mission. That for lost people, whether they live across the street or across an ocean, are lost people. And if we're going to work until the day when from ocean to ocean this land of ours knows the Lord, it's going to take vision like few of us have just now that the Lord can use to bring it to pass. It was my privilege to teach in this school where Dr. Copeland served as president in Japan for a year. And when I hear anybody today mention Seinan Gakuin, there's a tug at my heart for those in the classes I taught where only about 3% of them were Christian. But when I think of the Japanese people, I don't stop when I think about those in Fukuoka or in Tokyo. I can't stop until I think about those 1,000 Japanese families who live in San Francisco, in one area of the city with little or no Christian witness. And I remember riding out from Salt Lake City, Utah, and on many a country or county road, riding by mailbox after mailbox with Japanese names on them, who never went back to the coast after they were moved there during the war. I remember looking at a picture of a locked door of a Baptist church in Spain and feeling in my own heart a little bit of anguish and concern for a place where the gospel of the Lord could be preached with the doors locked by order of the government. But I can't stop thinking of Spanish people and stop in Spain. For since I came to work in personnel with the Home Mission Board in March, there has been on my desk the request for 3 missionary couples for Miami, Florida, where the Spanish population is now approximately 100,000. This fall, the survey is being made for language work in New York City. There are more than 800,000 Puerto Ricans in New York City, with the Spanish population approaching 1 million. So I can't stop with closed doors in Spain. I have to remember also the doors that may not be locked, but we have not opened in this land of ours. I can be concerned about Calcutta, and I can be concerned about Hong Kong, but I can't stop until I've remembered the 6 million lost people in New York City alone, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Dallas, or Atlanta. I traveled in Rio with Edgar Halleck to the slum area of the city. I listened as that dedicated missionary and that wonderful leader played the accordion for the music and led in the service. On the island of Davao, down in the southernmost island of Mindanao in the Philippines, I've gone with the missionaries to these sections of poverty, unspeakable sometimes. But I can't stop there. I sat and talked to a boy the other day who's talking about going to seminary after next year. I knew him when he was 10 years of age because a Goodwill Center in Atlanta, Georgia sent him to camp. And that Goodwill Center was his only contact with the church or with Christian people. I followed him through high school when week after week you could read about him in the daily newspapers as he played on the football team in that high school. And then I read of the scholarship, not for football, but for his scholastic achievement to the university. And then I heard him after he came home at Christmas during his freshman year in college, as he spoke to the people, including his parents and many other non-Christians in that section of our city, and gave his testimony to what that center had meant to him. So I can't stop with Rio. I have to remember Baltimore and New Orleans and two or three other cities where we have had vacancies in Goodwill Center work for 5 months, and we do not have those to send. I guess I haven't gotten away from listening to Ray Hojazaki say, "My heart's desire and my prayer to God for my Israel," as he called it, "is that they might be saved." I would need to add this. Our personnel department at the Home Mission Board is new. Our recommendations will be made to the board at its December meeting. They are taking into account this fact. The day has passed, if indeed it ever existed, when zeal alone is enough. And the words also in the early part of this 10th chapter to the Romans speaks of this Israel who had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. And I share with you the conviction that it's going to take the keenest, the best trained, with the deepest dedication, if we are going to, in our cities, in our rural areas, among the Spanish, the Indian, and all of the others who are our wonderful responsibility here at home, if we're going to make much of a mark in letting the Lord use us to lead this land of ours to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share this story with you. I had one boy in that class in Japan that I shan't forget. I remembered him from the first day of class when the 90 boys were asked to write why they were taking that course, and his opening statement was, "I am taking this course to get credit." That wasn't the last time that's happened. He had a good sense of humor. I've read it somewhere else since, but he mentioned it the first time I had heard it when he was giving me a definition of an American university, which he gave this in this fashion. An American university is a large athletic association which does, however, maintain some classes for the benefit of the feeble-bodied. Akio's son was not a Christian, not Buddhist, not Shintoist. He said he didn't believe anything. Not long after I came home, I had a letter from him, and he said, I'm a member of Miss Campbell's Bible class. A couple of months later, another letter said, I no longer go to Miss Campbell's Bible class. For Miss Campbell, she thought to make a Christian out of me, and I do not wish to become a believer. Some 6 months later, this letter, I write you what I go today to tell Miss Campbell. I no longer am a member of her Bible class because I did not wish to become a believer, but I am now a Christian. I was defeated by her prayer. Let me ask you something, friend. How long has it been since